Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Pushing back against criticism by some U.S. officials calling for his ouster and for an end to the Gaza war, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on aid.
The main problem that we see is the distribution of this aid once it gets into Gaza, and the fact that it is being looted by Hamas and by others.
Captured after a gun battle in Albuquerque, police say Jeremy Smith, the man suspected in shooting deaths of a woman in South Carolina and a New Mexico state trooper. Ukraine unleashing widespread drone attacks in Russia as Russians go to the polls on Election Day. Dozens of drones were shot down, says the Russian military. The Biden administration monitoring progress of the bill that passed the House that would ban TikTok unless its Chinese owners sell the company. White House National Security official John Kirby.
We don't want to see it banned. We do want to see ByteDance no longer in control of that application.
This is ABC News. The White House is urging the Senate to pass a bill that would force the sale of TikTok or be banned. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Turner, Ohio Republican.
This is actually a piece of legislation that requires that the Chinese ownership of TikTok be divested so that we would sever that relationship between Chinese ownership, the Chinese government, the Chinese Communist Party that is of such troubling concern.
Voting against the bill, Congressman Ro Khanna, California Democrat.
It took 3 days to pass a sale and then, if not, ban on TikTok. And we haven't passed data privacy. We haven't passed laws to ban foreign interference. The app where there actually was foreign interference in my district or near my district was Facebook.
Both on ABC's This Week. As March Madness gets underway, more people than ever now can legally bet on sports. North Carolina became the latest state to allow online sports betting last week. A total of 38 states and Washington, D.C. now allow sports betting. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas stations.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. You go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
Oh. You do look like a...
beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Wisconsin's healthcare workforce is in critical but stable condition. That's according to an annual industry group report. Mike Moan has more.
Annual findings from the Wisconsin Hospital Association show that health systems around the state have made some hiring gains following some worrisome years. However, job vacancy rates are at double digits for 8 of 18 health professions, and registered nurses just moved into that territory. WHA's Ann Zink says that's concerning for a key reason.
Registered nurses make up over half of the hospital and health system workforce. So that's very impactful because nurses can fill other gaps on the healthcare team.
Wisconsin is projected to see 1 out of every 4 residents reach retirement age by 2030, putting more pressure on demand for services. Providers and state officials are carrying out efforts to reduce staffing turnover in healthcare. The report has specific recommendations, including regulatory changes and expanded use of technology to help see patients. In the meantime, Zeng says the current challenges will be noticed by healthcare consumers.
People have to wait longer for a primary care appointment or a specialty appointment. Sometimes they end up needing to come to an urgent care department or an emergency department to get that access.
Zeng says that creates busier waiting rooms for those settings. And the report's authors say clinics are having a harder time filling certain support staff positions, such as medical assistants and receptionists. As for the bright spots, the WHA says there are more physicians in Wisconsin than there were a decade ago. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, expect a wave of reminders about voting on April 2nd. Lucy Ripp from A Better Wisconsin Together is our guest.
Snow accumulations will be light at first.
When you need to know what to expect from the weather,
widespread throughout the southern half of the state, we're looking at 5 to 8 inches.
You can count on the Civic Media team of meteorologists.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today. We'll see a high near 33 degrees. Northwest winds gusting 15 to 20, maybe up to 30 miles per hour at times. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 17. On Monday, mostly sunny. We'll see a high near 36. Breezy and warmer for Tuesday with a high of 48. Currently 26 degrees.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good day, friends. Hello, you found it. Welcome to the Rational Revolution. I am your host, Mark Becker. Yes, you heard that right. I am your host, Mark Becker. We'll get into that at the end of the show. And the reason is we have such a powerhouse guest. I want to get to it right away. He's been very gracious with his time today on pretty short notice. If you listen to the show, you're a pretty well-informed person. If you're a pretty well-informed person, you know who this guy is. He needs no introduction, but I'm going to do it anyway. This gentleman is a pillar in Wisconsin political commentary. He had a little radio host down in Milwaukee for 23 years from 1992 to 2016. Left his radio show in 2016 to found the media company The Bulwark. And he's a frequent contributor to MSNBC, commentator extraordinaire. Charlie Sykes is my guest here. How are you doing, Charlie?
It is good to be with you, Mark.
Thank you very much. You're the first guest. You're patient zero, I suppose. as we're on the fourth anniversary of COVID. But I want to know. I first off, before we get into things, I saw a little over a month ago you stepped down from The Bulwark. So. Yeah. Are you dipping your toes into retirement?
Well, I've been dipping my toes into retirement for several years with very, very limited success. So I really needed to get off the daily hamster wheel of crazy to step back. I mean, there's so much going on this year. I was doing a daily newsletter, a daily podcast, and I just thought, you know, I think I need to have a little bit more perspective. I've been doing this for a long time, so I'm fully engaged. I'm still writing every day, but it's not quite at the same pace.
Yeah, I think it was the Journal Sentinel article about you, but I didn't realize that. I mean, I knew you wrote the newsletter and I read it, but 2,000 words, that's a college paper that you were doing every single day, you know?
It was strapped to the mast. And at a certain point, look, nobody can have a hot take every single day, let's be honest about it. And I think that particularly in this particular news environment, where there's this just fire hose of information, misinformation, invective and outrage, you know, maybe the best place to understand what's happening to us is not being right there at the nozzle every single day.
Yeah, where do you think that is, though? You know, where do people get the best information possible? I mean, The Bulwark is fantastic.
Well, look, there are a lot of outlets out there, and I think this is one of the real challenges, because there's no shortage of information. There's no shortage of source material out there. The question is, how do you sift and winnow what is the most valuable, the most accurate, and what you need without losing your mind? And that last part is important, because it can be too much. So I think that people need to ration their intake of social media, but also find a few sources that they think that they can trust and that are going to give them a sober and reasonable analysis. Because there's a lot of people that I agree with, and like very much, who have spent the last 8 years with their hair on fire the entire time. Yeah. And I just don't know how sustainable that is.
Yeah. It's interesting of how, you know, I watched an interview that you did on Frontline, and you talked about how, you know, you're on your show, you were able to kind of start the discussion with the idea of, we all know this to be true, but towards the end of that, it was no longer possible, you know, because of the, you know, the invent of fake news and alternative facts and all of that. So I think, you know, one of the purposes of what we're doing here is giving a place for people to have those conversations, much like what you did at the Bulwark. And so that's fantastic. And I'm really glad to hear that you will still be involved, because, you know, as I was driving in today to the studio, and I was thinking about, you know, what it would be like here in Wisconsin and in, you know, common sense, moderate politics without your voice. And so I'm really glad to hear that you're not completely going away. So that, yeah, we do need you, Charlie.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I want to start with this. Last week, President Biden had his State of the Union address. You know, it was a speech that showed his vigor. What did you think of it? I mean, what were your thoughts on the delivery, on the content, all of that?
Okay, well, I ought to stipulate, first of all, that I am I'm deeply cynical about State of the Union addresses. I think that they're yeah, they're kind of a cross between a carnival and hour-long infomercial.
Yes.
So I generally am not a fan. I've also been very, very, very skeptical about whether they move the needle. I mean, there's a lazy punditry that said all eyes will be on the State of the Union. No, yeah, they're not. Most Americans right, are not going to be watching this.
Right.
And yes, historically, they don't change much now. So just that as background, I was surprised by how effective that speech was for, I think, what you were hinting at. Because Republicans have spent months very, very effectively raising questions about whether or not Joe Biden was up for it, whether he was too old, whether he was too senile, whether he would drool all over the podium. And I think that Democrats were really at the very edge of, if not over the edge, of panicking about this. In fact, you look at the news cycle for the previous 3 days, and it was all about Democratic pearl clutching. You know, should we replace Joe Biden? Should we find somebody else? You know, should he step aside? And then he steps out and he gives a very, very vigorous speech. Now, there was a little bit of shouting going on there, but on two major things that were accomplished. I mean, he really knocked the legs out from under one of the key anti-Biden talking points, which was that he was too frail, too infirm, and not there. That's number one. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans had given him a gift by setting the bar so low. But he also did something for the mood of Democrats. And again, I'm stressing this because I don't know how this shows up in the polls necessarily, whether it's going to move the needle, to use that cliche. But there's no question about it that that Democrats needed a morale boost, and they got it from that speech. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, he accomplished his most important job, leaving aside the content, which was, of course, as usual with a State of the Union, a little bit uneven. But I found it very powerful that he began by talking about Ukraine and began by drawing a contrast between himself and his predecessor about standing up to Vladimir Putin. I thought that was rather rousing, or certainly rousing for me.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's interesting, too, as we talk with Charlie Sykes here on the Rational Revolution, that I watched pregame on CNN and MSNBC kind of to see how the stage was being set. And you're exactly right. They talked about, you know, this is the most important speech that he will give in his political career, talking about how, you know, we're setting the stage to with the ageism and all that kind of stuff. And then I watched postgame on Fox News. And you're exactly right. How you played it out, it was Sean Hannity, and you know darn well that he would have jumped over the, you know, she's drooling all over himself. He's lost it. He's got dementia, all these types of things. And he didn't talk about it. And the only thing he could talk about was the fact that Joe Biden looked like an angry old man yelling at people to get off his lawn, you know? And it completely took away that argument of, well, he can't do it.
Right. So they had to pivot to angry old man. The more entertaining pivot, of course, was he had to be on drugs. They must have hopped him up or something.
Yes.
Because that can't be. And this is kind of their go-to. I was telling somebody the other day, I remember after the 2020, I think it was the Democratic National Convention where Biden had delivered his acceptance speech. It was so effective that there were people like Rush Limbaugh.
Yes.
Who were suggesting, well, that couldn't have been live. That couldn't have been real. They must have edited that and videotaped it, because he had to come up with some explanation for why everything he'd been saying about Biden had been essentially refuted in that speech. So to that extent, it was a success. Now, you know, does it change the dynamics of this race? Does it mean that he's no longer the underdog in this race? Not necessarily, but never discount something that changes the narrative and the vibe the way this speech did.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, you know, content aside, the idea that he could get through it with with clarity and with eloquence and a little bit of feistiness too, which I love. I mean, that was really interesting. And then the moment where he was talking about the border deal, and the camera moved over to Senator Langford, and he mouthed, "That's true."
Yeah,
that was a big deal. I wonder, I wonder what the fallback is going to be for him on that. I hope it's not much, but
it'll be grim. No, it will be grim. As you know, having spent the last 7 or 8 years watching one Republican independent after another be exiled, excommunicated, and shunted off to the wilderness, you can kind of guess what's going to happen with him. But you're right. Biden was feisty, and he was also prepared to be interactive, going back and forth with, Marjorie Taylor Greene. And he showed a little bit of humor, which I think is really important. And a couple of other things happened also. You know, the next day, and it's always the follow-up as well, because these speeches don't stand alone. You know, often there's a lag time that there will be the speech, and then there is, the post-game analysis, and then, what is the conventional wisdom and the buzz? And a couple of things happened. Number one, he came out with a surprisingly effective ad where he's talking into the camera and owns his age. I thought it was not terrible.
Yes.
And, of course, Republicans served up this incredible gift of having Senator Katie Britt do the response, which became the must-see SNL cold open. That's how bad it was.
Yes, and I don't know who it was. I don't know if it was our friend Tim Miller or Bill Kristol. I don't know who, but the best thing that I saw was someone described it as dinner theater. And like, what a perfect, way to say that. It's like, oh my gosh, just seeing the over dramatized, I wanted to get to that. So I'm glad you said that.
Very unfair to dinner theater, most of which was much, much better and of higher quality than what we saw there.
Right. So we got 30 seconds here. So the idea of, on a scale of Paul Ryan to Bobby Jindal, where was that Republican response?
Oh, I think it's one of the worst ever, because it's going to be one of the most memorable ever.
I agree with that. We're here on the Rational Revolution talking to Charlie Sykes. We're going to come right back here and we'll continue the conversation. Thanks for being here.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Don't you love an extra $100 in your pocket? Have a TurboTax expert file your taxes for you by March 31st to get $100 back instantly. Because no matter what moves you made last year, TurboTax makes them count. That means getting $100 back and 100% accurate taxes only from Intuit TurboTax. Must file by 3/31. Credit only applicable to federal filing fees with TurboTax full service. Offer can be modified or terminated at any time.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, philosopher you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
When you think about early labor unions, do you think of Wisconsin? You sure?
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, friends. You found the Rational Revolution. Mark Becker is your host. We've been talking to Wisconsin legend Charlie Sykes. At last segment, we talked about the State of the Union, thoughts on how that went. Joe Biden kind of ticked off the main box that he needed to show that he could do this. And we briefly touched on the worst Republican response in history. I want to get to a really important topic. And a mutual friend of ours, Charlie, Congressman Reed Ribble, we talked to him a couple weeks ago. And I really wanted to get his take, because him and I, you know, when he was in Congress, we would have lunch once a month, and while I was chairman, and we really kind of just walked through things in you know, as it was happening live, of where the Republican Party was going, and just really expressed our disappointment and dissatisfaction. But I want to get your take, because you've been, you know, at a really high level in this arena for a very long time. How did we get here?
Well,
I know it's a big slowly, question.
Yes, slowly, gradually, and then all at once.
Yeah, right.
These things go. You know, it's something that I think about a great deal, and continue to be amazed about the complete collapse of the Republican Party and what's happening right now, which does feel like, you know, kind of closing the doom loop. I think that last week felt like it was the exclamation point on the Republican Party's complete capitulation to Donald Trump. I gave an interview to Politico magazine, I said, you know, I do think it's important to separate out, you know, the surrender to Donald Trump in 2016 and 2020 and 2024. They were all shocking in their own ways. Mm-hmm. And I'm still amazed at what happened here with Wisconsin Republicans who were really skeptical of Donald Trump, voted against him overwhelmingly in the primary, but then fell into line.
Yeah.
But in 2026, and I hope people don't misunderstand me, because I'm not defending this, but I'm just walking through how the nature of the surrender has gotten worse. So in 2016, you could at least rationalize that, oh, Donald Trump would grow into the presidency.
Yes.
Okay, well, he didn't. But in 2020, he was the incumbent president. There was a lot at stake. So you could kind of understand that. But think about what it means now for the Republican Party to rule over for Donald Trump. Think of all the things that have happened. And I was sort of speculating, imagine if we were in some sort of a vast, you know, simulation, and said, okay, so what if he didn't just joke about grabbing women by their private parts? What if he actually raped a woman?
Mm-hmm.
What if he actually tried to overthrow the government? What if he actually incited violence? What would happen then? And the answer is, the Republican Party looks at that, they're shrugging their shoulders, and they're saying, yeah, we're fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Four more years.
Right.
And so what you've had is the transformation of the Republican Party from a party, and this is not an original thought, into something that's indistinguishable from a cult.
Right.
And there's been no principle, no value, no issue that they have not been willing to surrender in order to basically stay in the good graces of this one man, which is really, truly remarkable.
And you know, Reed, it's funny. 2 weeks ago, I had this conversation again with Reed Ribble about, you know, where did we get here? And I remember, you know, because I came into politics in like 2008-ish, you know, when I was out of just out of high school and really learning the ropes and all of that. And so I saw the rise of the Tea Party. And so, I mean, and stupid me thinking of that, you know, that was really where it started. But then, you know, Reed, who's an encyclopedia, was, well, a couple hundred years ago, and he kind of gave us the whole history of the world. But, you know,
this extreme notion, you know, is frightening. I had a conversation with Russ Feingold a couple of years ago, and he talked about how during the Clinton administration, he's like, when they had a balanced budget, senators were going back and forth from, you know, to each one of their offices. They had like running bets. Hey, if we save the budget X amount, you know, loser buys lunch, right? Stuff like that. And he said, I never felt more American than when that was happening, because it didn't matter what letter was behind your name. We were all doing this for the good of the country. We were doing this for the people we represent. Doesn't matter who. And that's unheard of now.
No, it's unthinkable now. I mean, that's an artifact from the before times. And you know, it is, you know, for people who haven't been around a long time, what you're experiencing now is not normal. There once was a time when people did put country ahead of party. Now, right. I mean, obviously there are exceptions to that, but there was bipartisanship. There were guardrails. There were people who said, no, you know what, we're not going to embrace this bizarre extremist conspiracy theory. And to watch the collapse of all of that in a very, very short period of time is extraordinary, including, you know, including in the information media sphere.
Yes.
Where we've gone, I'm old enough to remember when the mainstream media was in absolute dominance. And I think there was a liberal bias. That was not a myth. But now we've created these alternative reality silos that are impenetrable. And so that you can live in your own reality. I think my friend David French calls it your own bespoke reality.
Yep.
And you never have to deal with a contrary argument. And really, it's hard to see how you come out of that, because we have 40% of Americans who will never even hear of some of the things that you and I are talking about,
yes.
Who will never read any of these stories.
Yeah. No, and it's not like it's, you know, wondering whether or not climate change is real. It's wondering, you know, there are people who, you know, think Newsmax is a far leftist organization who think that, you know, I'm sure you've seen the little reels on Facebook or, you know, Instagram or whatever, where there are people who think that Donald Trump is president, and there's a difference between the president of the United States and the commander in chief. And when Reid was in Congress, we would talk about the Tea Party, because he would lament about, you know, how he would get so much grief for being in No Labels, right?
Yes.
And we would always talk about, well, who is your base? You know, and there was 20,000-30,000 people that would both vote for him and Barack Obama. Where is that now? You know, we got a minute and a half, but where are those people?
Well, it's gone. Yeah, I mean, there are voters. Look, we live in Wisconsin that voted twice for Barack Obama and then voted for Donald Trump. There are counties that Barack Obama carried and that were then carried by Donald Trump. You know, go figure. But that's becoming increasingly rare, because everybody has descended into their own tribes.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really shameful thing, and I think, you know, I don't know what people do now, you know, and so to try to target as a campaign, which, I mean, you know, the inside baseball stuff, but, you know, trying to target the minutiae of the minutiae of the minutiae is next to impossible. So we're going to hit another break. We're going to be back for one more segment here with Wisconsin legend Charlie Sykes here on The Rational Revolution.
You on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station. ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Pushing back against criticism by some U.S. officials calling for his ouster and for an end to the Gaza war, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on aid.
The main problem that we see is the distribution of this aid once it gets into Gaza, and the fact that it is being looted by Hamas and by others.
Captured after a gun battle in Albuquerque, police say Jeremy Smith, the man suspected in shooting deaths of a woman in South Carolina and a New Mexico state trooper. Ukraine unleashing widespread drone attacks in Russia as Russians go to the polls on Election Day. Dozens of drones were shot down, says the Russian military. The Biden administration monitoring progress of the bill that passed the House that would ban TikTok unless its Chinese owners sell the company. White House National Security Official John Kirby.
We don't want to see it banned. We do want to see ByteDance.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Across the line, right side, he'll launch it for three at the horn. He got it at the buzzer. To the rim, and he sends it down with the left hand. Right side shooting for the win. Got it! Blocks it, Koenig. Step back three straight on. Got it! Sam Decker. Bo Ryan will win for the 300th time as the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers. Stamps off another three. Booked it. Oh, my goodness. Don't wake him up. Greg Kaminsky, a single game school record, 43 points.
I can't believe I'm going to say it, but here it comes. The Wisconsin Badgers are going to the Final Four.
Badger basketball is on the air. Today's game is brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Fabic Rents for all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. And by SeatGeek, official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The Wisconsin Badger postseason is presented by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Welcome to the Badger Shootaround.
Courtside of the Target Center in Minneapolis on Championship Sunday, and for the eighth time in program history, the Wisconsin Badgers are playing for the Big Ten Conference Tournament Championship. Today's opponent, the Illinois Fighting Illini. Illinois coming back from 15 down early in the second half yesterday to defeat Nebraska. Terrence Shannon Jr. was simply electric, scoring 40 points in the game. The earlier game, well, Chucky Hepburn was definitely electric in every area, getting the game-tying bucket at the end of regulation, drawing a critical charge in the final half minute of overtime, and that helped set the stage for Max Klesmit to hit what proved to be the game-winning floater as Wisconsin defeated Purdue in overtime, 76-75. We're about 1 hour away from the opening tip. We'll hear from head coach Greg Gard. We'll check in with Brian Butch as well, and we will review how these teams got to this championship game here today in Minneapolis. Coming up, Jesse Temple of The Athletic as we get rolling with the Badgers pregame show. This is Badgers basketball from Learfield.
When it comes to advertising, the landscape gets more and more confusing every day. As a business owner, you've got dozens of choices on how to spread your message. At Civic Media, our goal is to help you unclutter that landscape. For 100 years, radio has successfully delivered customers to the doors of local businesses because we're local too. Local news, local topics, and local people that care about the places we broadcast. That gives your message credibility, and that's key when it comes to getting your message in the ears of the right people. Learn more about how this Civic Media station can help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us and click on sponsorship. From right here in our town to across the entire state of Wisconsin, we'll get the right message to the right people at the right time. And you'll be surprised how effective and budget-friendly radio advertising can be. Again, log on to civicmedia.com and click on sponsorship. We'll have a talk and help you craft the message that works for the people that you want to reach.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its seven lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Badgers pregame show back at Target Center in Minneapolis. Wisconsin and Illinois will play for the Big Ten tournament title. As we're joined by Jesse Temple of The Athletic, well, let's rewind it to yesterday. Wisconsin beating Purdue, as everyone predicted. Crowell, Winter, and Wall would foul out, and the Badgers would still find a way. That was a pretty entertaining basketball game, wasn't it?
It had to be one of the best conference tournament games of this entire March. It was a privilege just to be able to watch it in person. And every time Purdue took the lead, Wisconsin figured out how to have an answer. Chucky Hepburn was outstanding, and Klesman obviously hit the game winner with 5 seconds left. So it showed what the potential is for this Badgers team after losing twice to Purdue during the regular season.
Yeah, you mentioned Chucky. He was truly in aggressive mode and smart, too. I mean, no turnovers, get some steals, assist, and a big-time shot at the end of regulation, too. Right?
And obviously, he missed the game the day before with a knee injury, and we talked to him in the locker room after the game. He said he was about 40% then, and he couldn't go. And they worked for 24 hours. Obviously, he got some sleep. But when he wasn't sleeping, they were trying to get him ready to play. He said he was up to about 85%. And one of the things they did was some acupuncture with those dry needles in the back of the knee. And he said he hates needles, and he said everybody in the hotel could hear me screaming.
Yeah, it's kind of squeamish just hearing that right now. Yeah, they were running a play very similar, Bronson Koenig, the three that beat Xavier in the tournament several years ago. But it was just so smart, take what's there. I mean, you could go for the gusto there, but for both the shot that tied the game and then Max Klesman, a lot of times you see jumpers there, and they both attacked it.
Yeah, first the Chucky play in regulation, just great decision making. It's a play called Wagon. They had Chucky in the paint. They ran him around the perimeter to the right wing, and Braden Smith was all over him. The plan was for him to shoot a three, but he said he saw the way Smith was playing up on him, so he took what was handed to him, went right to the rim. Nobody was there, and obviously he made the layup at the end of regulation to send it to overtime. And a great play by Max. He said he loves the floater. Tyler Wall said they call it the Nina floater because that's just kind of been his specialty since he was playing in high school ball, but you needed all the English on that one because it went off the rim, off the glass, and in. So it all worked out for the Badgers.
He's had a few game winners now in his time at Wisconsin, going back to the Marquette game even last year. Let's focus now on Illinois. Terrence Shannon scores 40 points. And then game one, Marcus Damask was such a difference maker. They've just got weapons all over the place. But trying to stop Shannon, it's like a running back, it seems like, hitting the hole the way he plays.
It's extremely difficult. And if Wisconsin wants to win a Big Ten tournament championship, they're going to have to stop those two guys. Damask was dominant in the last game at the Kohl Center. Really took it to Tyler Wall, and I think Tyler will probably embrace that challenge this time around. And it's funny because Greg Gard said after the game, he kind of compared Damask to Wall in the number of ways he can score. But Terrence Shannon is an NBA prospect. He can score in a variety of ways. He's so difficult to guard. So it's going to take, yet again, one of Wisconsin's best games of the season if they want to pull it off. But that's what you want to be involved in at this time of the year.
And maybe one of the bigger questions is, what do they have left in the tank? This will be the fourth game in 4 days. I guess it beats practice, as anybody who's ever played would tell you. But that's, anytime somebody has to play those extra games, that's as big a storyline as anything, isn't it?
Yeah, and the guys were talking in the locker room about what a big deal this is to them. They have a chance to play for a championship. That doesn't happen every year at Wisconsin in the conference tournament. And you can say, debate the merits of whether you want to play in a conference championship or lose early, but you only really talk about that if you lose. So you want to win as many championships as you can, and Wisconsin has an opportunity to do that.
For their fourth Big Ten conference tournament championship are the Badgers here today. He's Jesse Temple of The Athletic. Stay with us. More to come, including our Badger Spotlight, as our pregame show continues. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
It takes hard work to be the best in the game. Planning, commitment, resilience, sweat. That's why Old Dominion Freight Line, the number one national LTL carrier for quality, works hard to be the best in the game and is proud to support those striving to be the best in theirs. Old Dominion Freight Line, official freight carrier of Wisconsin Athletics, helping the world keep promises.
at Shields. We know the basketball season is a full court press from tip-off to final buzzer. Each game presents an opportunity to see your Badgers take the court and compete for the win. So be there for every second to show your support head-to-toe in Wisconsin red and white. Shields has partnered with the Wisconsin Badgers to provide your favorite fan gear. So visit Shields in-store or online to start every game with a slam dunk. Shields, proud partner of Wisconsin athletics and basketball fans everywhere.
SeatGeek's the ticketing app for fans like the sideline shot caller.
Come on, boys, pick up the pace!
SeatGeek got him a great deal on seats right near the action, so when he yells,
"What are you doing? Book him!"
he can be absolutely sure the players heard him. SeatGeek handles the tickets to sports, concerts, and more, so fans can fan.
Life's better with an auto policy from American Family Insurance. No matter what dreams you're driving towards. That's because our expert agents will make you feel totally protected with the right auto coverage at the right price. You'll also save up to 23% when you bundle auto with home. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Sean Clary here. I have been told we need to include a younger demo in our commercials. So like your local sports teams, I thought I would bring a DJ to stay.
They're rebuilding in the house, or shed.
Whoa. Maybe we need to work on that. He is right, though. Check us out at clarybuilding.com for the building of your dreams. Sean Clary out.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Pre-game coverage continues. Time now for our Badger Spotlight as Brian Butch joins me. We touched on it a little bit yesterday, Butchie, but now for the Badgers, fourth game in 4 days. For Illinois, third game in three. Availability reports are promising both sides. Is this one of those all hands on deck kind of days?
Well, it is, and I think more than anything, the biggest thing about this is you're playing off your emotions. However, I don't care what anyone says, your legs get heavy too.
Like they just, I appreciate your honesty.
They just do. Yeah. I mean, it's the reality. And I've never had I've never had to play 4-4 because we always were able to play on that Friday, which was a huge advantage. So now, what does it take? How do you get it? And it, the problem is, especially with a team like Illinois that wants to run, they want to get out. Defense sometimes optional. Like they're more worried about the offensive end. That's the thing that I look at is initially. Get back in transition, turn it into your game, and now all of a sudden legs aren't going to be a big of a deal. If you don't do that right away, and it's a track rate, I mean, like now you've got your hands full a little bit, and that's where those legs really get heavy. And I also think legs get heavy when you're shooting the basketball. We know how well Wisconsin shot the three this tournament. Will the heavy legs show up in that?
When you guys won it in 08, there was the rally to beat Michigan State. No question the rivalry was hitting peak levels at that point. Wisconsin yesterday beats Purdue with the team that everybody believes is a one seed. There's the physical recovery, but the emotional stuff. You got to, I mean, maybe everybody slept well last night, but those are big time games, but there was one more to go.
Well, and I think that's the thing, Matt, the biggest thing with the four, like four games, yeah. Even though they played Maryland and it was a blowout. And Greg was right. It's a practice. But what wasn't a practice was the mental approach to get ready as a player. Coaching, that's a great message. Like, that's fantastic. That message is great. Mm-hmm. However, as a player, you've needed to do things differently to prepare for a game than you would for a practice.
Yep.
And that's the toughest thing. Now, they're 18 and 22-year-old kids. That's part of what this is. And you play off the emotion of what the championship game is. There's nothing better than a championship, Big Ten Tournament Championship Day. There's nothing.
Yeah, this is the day because of the games themselves and then what happens later this afternoon. This is the time when there are, some of the people, the Jerry Palms, Mike DeCourcy, Joe Lenardi, they're pretty good. History tells us that what they project is pretty good. I'm in that group with most of the rest. We might know what's going on, like often wrong, never in doubt kind of thing. But one thing that's going to make today particularly interesting were all the bid stealers that we have seen here these last couple of games in the conference tournaments.
Well, and you still got Temple, mm-hmm. a team that's going to, another one playing, today at some point. You had Long Beach State going, who fired a coach. You had a bunch of bid stealers. And this is the nuts, the craziest thing. There's been three teams that have been better than everybody else. UConn, they won. Houston, they lost. Purdue, they lost. Like, welcome to March. Like, this is great. It's awesome. You hear me say it all the time. College basketball always delivers. You just got to pay attention. Now that there's more eyes on it, people are realizing, like, wow, this year is going to be different. We could have said that in December. When you looked at college basketball, and as we're watching this, sitting next there calling all these games, and we look and we say, wow, there's another upset. That's another upset. Didn't see that coming. It's happened all year long. But this is what, obviously, the bid stealers are out there. There's a lot of teams that have done this. So that bubble is going to get really, really tight. Now, Wisconsin, they don't have to worry about it. That's where it is so nice. When we won in 08, Illinois needed to win the Big Ten tournament to get into the tournament.
Right.
They weren't getting in if they didn't beat us. Mm-hmm. Now, part of me is really happy. Let's run this back thing. We took care of business, and that's what, and then the emotions hit of winning, cutting down the nets, getting in the locker room, talking to the media, getting upstairs, getting cameras in your face for CBS to see where you're seated. Either way, that's what this group will go through. They'll play the game, win, cut down the nets, lose, they'll be upset, they'll be in the locker room. Cameras will still be in your face. You'll have to deal with that. Then you got to run upstairs somewhere here at the Target Center, have cameras thrown in your face again, and see where you're going and get ready for it. And that's the reality of what these kids are going to go through this today.
Yeah, it's a crazy day. It's a lot of fun, though. That's why people tune in on Selection Sunday and why college basketball. We know it's an NFL world, Butchie, but if ever college basketball is going to carve a sizable niche, this is it.
There's no question about it. And that's the reality of what this is. It's fantastic. It's great. I can't wait for it.
All right. He's Brian Butch. That is Badger Spotlight. We'll hear more from Butchie coming up as our pregame coverage continues. The Notebook is next. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
At Amory Chevrolet, we provide customers with all the information they need to make the best and most informed decisions. With our customer-friendly staff, we make sure you'll have fun during the car buying process. Whether you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle, Amory Chevrolet is here to help provide courteous and professional service in a friendly atmosphere. Check out our selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at AmoryChevrolet.com or call us at 715-268-7676. That's 715-268-7676. Amory Chevrolet, where we treat people like people.
We've been doing this since 1997, and we know that hiring a contractor can be really stressful. And we just want you to know that from the first phone call to the final piece, we really want you to have peace of mind through the whole experience.
My experience with Crum in one sentence would be that I would do it all over again.
Crum Exteriors featuring Kangaroo Roof. We hop to it. 715-246-1690. CrumExteriors.com.
Snow accumulations will be light at first.
When you need to know what to expect from the weather,
widespread throughout the southern half of the state, we're looking at 5 to 8 inches.
You can count on the Civic Media team of meteorologists led by Brittany Merlot to track the snow and the impact.
This will be a heavy, wet, slushy, sloppy snowfall that'll be heavy to shovel.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Badgers pregame show continues from Minneapolis, Wisconsin, and Illinois in this Big Ten tournament championship game. Time for our Badger Notebook with Patrick Herb. Appearance number 8 for this Wisconsin basketball program in the title game. This only dates back to 1998, so this is not like some 75-year tradition. This says something about the level of success that this program has enjoyed for a little while.
There's no question, and Wisconsin's 8 appearances trails only Ohio State with 9. Now, Illinois is also making their 8th, so these are teams who are accustomed to this stage. But, yeah, Wisconsin has a great history in this tournament, and they're extending it today. Wisconsin's won 3 championships, so they're trying to win their 4th, which would tie them with Ohio State for the second most of any program. Michigan State has the record with 6. But also, they frequently meet Illinois in that championship game. We talked about both have had 8. This will be the 4th time that these two schools have met in the title game. And Wisconsin's got a 2-1 record right now, so they've got bragging rights at least for the next hour or so. And then we'll have to see where it goes from there. But Wisconsin is trying to do something that very few teams have done. And putting themselves in this position is a big step to get there.
Yeah, Butchie was involved in one of those wins against Illinois. Just burst in their bubble. You know,
couple of them. You look times, at 08 and then 04. Yeah, that 04 tournament. Yep, exactly. Yeah. So.
Okay, 4 games, 4 days. We talked with Brian about it. Now, the good news for Butchie, they never had to do that. They were always playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But what's the history of this 4 games of 4 days now?
So this is new territory for Wisconsin. Wisconsin's never played 4 Big Ten tournament games in one weekend. They've been in the championship many times, like I said, but it's always when they've had that double bye or single bye before there were 14 teams in the conference. But it's happened 12 times that a team has had to play 4 games in 4 days and made it all the way from Thursday to Sunday. And teams are 4-8, so it certainly can be done. In fact, you don't have to go back very far to find success in this. Last year, Penn State made it as a number 10 seed, but they lost in the title game. The year before, then 2022, Iowa made it 4 games in 4 days, won the championship as the 5 seed, just like Wisconsin is. They had a tough game in the semifinals, like Wisconsin did. They won 80-77, came back, had enough juice to beat Purdue in that title game. Go back to 2018 also, and Michigan pulled off that trick as a 5 seed. That was the year they had their plane skid off the runway.
Get off the runway.
They had to wear practice jerseys through the whole tournament, but they won 4 games in 4 days. So Wisconsin's trying to do something that they haven't done before, but only because they haven't had the opportunity, and it has been done. In fact, just look this weekend alone at what's happening. You've seen Oregon do it, 4 games in 4 days to win the Pac-12 championship. NC State did it, 4 wins in 4 days to win the ACC. New Mexico did it to win the Mountain West. Why not Wisconsin, too, huh?
There you go. The old Joe Panos line. Why not Wisconsin? So this is the unique, well, I say unique, Badgers will be the eighth time the program has gone through this. The confetti will fly. There will be a trophy presentation. And then win or lose, you go into your, wherever you're watching the selection show, and you go from the euphoria of winning a championship or disappointment if you fall short, and then snap your fingers. We're going to fill-in-the-blank city to play fill-in-the-blank team. It's an interesting day ahead for both of these programs.
It really is, and it's sort of the plus or the minus of playing in this stage, right? That you get a big audience, CBS. It's a standalone game leading into selection show, but it puts you behind. Both these teams are going to get home late tonight, and they're going to have to travel again on Tuesday or Wednesday for the NCAA tournament, so it's a condensed schedule. Now, I'm not saying anybody would trade it. They want to be in this position. But it also makes the postgame very interesting. If you're the winning team, it's a rush. Trophy presentation, most outstanding player trophy. Cut down the nets fast, get into your room, watch a selection show, then do some media, shower, get on the bus to get back home. If you're the losing team, a little bit of media, watch a selection show, a little bit of media, get on the bus and go home. The whole thing is condensed, and one of the things I don't love about it is the idea that you win a Big Ten championship is kind of old news after about 30 minutes after the game, and we've already moved on.
Yeah, now the worst part, though, is if you lose that thing. I've been on the kiss side of that of losing it a couple times, too. And then you got people from CBS saying, cheer.
Yeah, get excited.
Get excited.
just lost. I'm not happy. Like, great, we're in the tournament. That's we're probably big good enough to get in the tournament. I'm not going to cheer. We just lost. Like, I'm pissed.
That reminds me of 2017. Wisconsin was in the Big Ten championship game in Washington, D.C.,
yep.
Lost the game, then went into the selection show, and Wisconsin was the second name called. So the guys weren't even settled in and ready, and they were an 8 seed in Buffalo playing on Thursday.
Yay.
That did not go over well in the room. No, there was not much excitement in that room.
But they got through Buffalo by beating Villanova. The one loss of Villanova had in between two natties, I believe. So
things worked out okay.
And then even like after you won it in 08, Bo would get mad about whatever, right?
I think we didn't clean up the locker room the right
time. Get that enemy thing going again, right?
So. Keep that edge. Whatever you have to do to keep the edge.
Absolutely. I bet. Get an enemy.
I can't believe we got seated there, guys. They're against us.
That's right.
All right, coach.
Have an enemy. You have to make one up.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, let's look forward to today. See what. Appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, guys.
All right, he's Patrick Hurd. That is today's Badger Notebook. Stay with us. More of our pregame coverage is coming up. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
How do you master the game of basketball? With ingenuity. By creating new opportunities to turn post-ups into layups, spin moves into easy steals, press breaks into fast breaks. At UW Health, we use the same ingenuity to treat injuries. We build a team of the greatest minds in sports medicine constantly innovating for the future of sports treatment. As the Badgers' official team doctors, we're dedicated to delivering advanced care every day so any athlete can stay on their A game. UW Health. Remarkable.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Looking to boost your vehicle's overall performance? Do you want to increase fuel efficiency and get a better ride? Then Lucas Oil Stabilizer from your local bumper-to-bumper auto parts store is the answer. Ideal for all cars, trucks, and motorcycles. Lucas Oil Stabilizer is a top-of-the-line engine additive that'll help reduce wear and enhance oil performance. Performance you can rely on. All the auto parts you need at the value you expect. Now that's bumper-to-bumper. Where service is the difference. We get it.
If you've got the right tools and the friendly people at U.S. Bank in your corner, making smarter money choices is a piece of cake. If only our tools and helpful advisors could have helped you avoid some of those not-so-smart choices in life. Like that time you tried to pick up unicycling.
Whoa, coming through!
Or when you thought it'd be okay to pet that squirrel in the park.
Good squirrel.
While we can't help you with all that, we can help you bank smartly at usbank.com/smartertogether. Member FDIC.
Listen up, Badger fans. Are you looking to save money while also saving the planet? Well, you can do just that with Everlight Solar, the largest residential solar company in Wisconsin. With our zero out-of-pocket program, any homeowner can win with solar energy by simply shifting what you already pay for power to pay for solar panels instead. Visit EverlightSolar.com today to schedule your no-cost consultation. With zero out-of-pocket along with generous tax incentives and rebates, it's a no-brainer for any homeowning Badger fan. Everlight Solar, a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Back in Minneapolis, pregame coverage continues. The Wisconsin Badgers winners four of their last five games against the Illinois Fighting Illini. They've won six of their last seven. Illinois coming back from 15 down yesterday. The Badgers winning a thriller against Purdue. So we've talked about, joined again by Brian Butch, about what's left in the tank for Wisconsin. Illinois, you know, down 15. It was early second half, but they really cranked it up. We'll see what they have third game in 3 days here today.
And they have had to really do it the last two games. Both of them, they, you know, did not play well against Ohio State. Had to use a lot of energy there. And then against Nebraska, same kind of thing. So when you look at it, it's going to be a good one. You've got to, Wisconsin early on, though, you've got to limit that transition. Illinois is going to want to get a run. Slow them down. Don't make it a track meet.
It's an Illinois team averaging 84 points per game. Before we move on, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification, 10 for an ID. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Tip time for this Big Ten Tournament Championship game a bit more than a half an hour away. Stay with us. We'll check in with head coach Greg Gard. Coming up, this is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, "I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life." And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges.